As a minute gun powers the hour of nine, and this beautiful 17th day of September is Auburn Parliament, and the Parliament is now in session. On Tuesday, we raised the issue of the potentials of the Southeast, with special focus on agriculture and industrialization. Today on the Parliament, we further that discussion by bringing in a significant fellow in the sector, the Special Advisor on Agriculture to the Governor of Enugu State. And on the flip side, the Parliament will also serve as a radio town hall where you paint the picture of a kind of agricultural revolution you need to see and need to be put in place, and also place a demand on the government to think in that direction. We do hope you enjoy every minute of the 90 minutes of this show. I am Uche Gabriel.
I'm Adobe Lozwe. Good morning.
All right. Our guest this morning is the Special Advisor on Agriculture to the Governor of Enugu State, Engineer Michael Obuokwe. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here. Good morning to our listeners.
All right. We'll start by asking a question we asked on Tuesday, which is, shouldn't government and the entire Southeast be thinking about empowering people by, you know, driving revolution in agriculture as a means of creating jobs?
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to see that agriculture is beginning to take the front burner in every cycle now. You watch the TV, you listen to the radio, social media, everybody's talking agriculture. And it is apt that this is happening. And indeed, the government need to empower and encourage participation in agriculture as a way to diversify the economy. And Enugu State government is doing that under the able leadership of His Excellency, Right Honorable Ifeanyi Ogunwanyi, our governor. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes. And how are we doing this? You know, agriculture, like you know, is the first profession that every human, in fact, even animals, have, because you don't need to go to school to learn how to, you know, put a seed of maize in the ground and it will grow. You know, we all enjoy the growing up. So we have... That's because God created us to have to survive. But the government now does, what the government now does is now to show the people, encourage the people ways they can improve the agriculture, their yield, the production. So, for instance, using the FADAMA program as an example, the FADAMA program trained and empowered over 14,000 people statewide in rice production. And so what did the FADAMA do? First of all, training. You know, there are ways you can you can cultivate rice that will increase your yield from 1 ton per hectare to 4, 5, 6 tons per hectare. So our people, our rice farmers, were used to just broadcasting the seed in the farm, you know. And but so the FADAMA program taught them how to make nurseries. So you make a nursery in under the shade, and then you transplant.
Okay.
It's more labor intensive, but it gives you more yield. And so imagine someone that was making 2 tons, 3 tons per hectare, now making 4 to 5 tons per hectare. Some even making 6, depending on the grains they use. So that increased the production for our rice farmers. That's number one. And number two is that they also gave them improved seeds. So, you know, everybody wants to see that long grain Uncle Ben's rice. It's because of the kind of seed that you plant.
Okay.
As you sow, you reap. So Faro 44 seed, long grain seeds were introduced to our farmers. So now gradually it's placing the short grain rice seeds in our farms. And thirdly, they also supported them with machinery like hand and power tillers and the rest, and also helped them with tractorization. And fourthly, there was also infrastructure. So, like, developing rural roads, access roads to farms. You know, this, if you go to those areas, you see these roads that were done with, gravels and the rest. Those are assessments that will help the farmers bring out their foodstuffs, because that's very important. And into further that, the government also intensified their investment in a RAMP program. RAMP is called the Rural Access Mobility Program. It's a World Bank, federal government, state government partnership. But the state increased it such that in the axis of, you know, in some axes, you see about 32 kilometers of rural roads being done to open up virgin areas. People might not understand what that means. What it means is that if you wanted to go to farm and you had to use cutlass to cut your way to get access to a virgin farmland or a land that you should increase or expand to, with these roads, you can actually ride on your bike or drive on the car. So these are interventions that increase agriculture production. Then, of course, we have the appeals program that the state government is currently doing. They just interviewed about 3,200 youths and women. What the idea is that when they choose, select successful 1,700 beneficiaries and go through the same process of training them and holding them to become more productive in agriculture. Before then, before now, there was the CADP program, which is the Commercial Agriculture Development Program.
Okay.
You know, so these things are targeted at farm areas where you see they also build markets. I'm sure you see in some villages you see market stalls. So, you know, what's the idea? You have to be able to have a place, an aggregation point where you sell your products. They also have like you go to Anuri, you go to Kano East, you go to Uzuwani, where we have the major density for rice production. Fadama, for instance, also built some warehouses. So gradually shifting the culture of our people to grow our agricultural production from small holder to large scale, and then the market, the farm access, and the rest will now make it to become a place where you come to a community that produces rice, you can get 10 trailers, 20 trailers at a time, because there's an aggregation. And Fadama, for instance, also did some mini irrigation projects, like the central pivot system, where you know, you can irrigate up to 200 hectares of land in one stretch. And then you now talk of the Agriculture Transformation Agenda Program, support program, ATAPS, which is also a federal government, state government partnership. To the, they are rebuilding the irrigation canals at Adani Rice Cluster. They've done some, you know, same thing, markets, boreholes, and even schools in farm areas. You know, because, you know, we have some itinerary farmers that migrate to farm, and so they go with their children to farm. They have, the children have to go to school, so the concept of building those small schools in those inner areas, and that's what the Agricultural Transformation Agenda Support Program is doing. So when you put these things together, these things happen in rural areas, when you put all these efforts together, you see that the overall aim is to increase food production, get self-sufficient in food production. And then and Enugu State, like you know, is blessed in food production. Because I've been elsewhere. I've worked in Anambra 5 years in the government before I came here. And I know that we are blessed with diverse food. We have rice, we have cassava, we have oba, we have akidi, we have gari. In fact, our gari is one of the best. You have palm oil, same thing, very good. You know, we have cashew, you know. So we have what it takes to export, you know, we have what it takes to feed ourselves, and even a surplus. So with all these efforts, in addition to the recent agribusiness hub that is superintended by my office that trains the youth, you know, to go into agribusiness, you know, key point, agribusiness, because we are graduating from just subsistence farming and just go to a care market, Uria market, and sit down and sell, to where we have our agricultural sector supplying our industries, you know, supplying our supermarket chains, you know.
Do we really have enough to do that supply? Because the argument is that bulk of what we consume in the Southeast come from outside of Southeast, not central and far north.
Yeah, well, you see, just as food is coming in, our food is going out.
Okay.
There's no fencing in Enugu State out of the country. So it's a commodity market driven economy. So food comes in, the food that they produce in they have comparative advantage comes in here. The food that we produce in comparative advantage goes out there.
Okay.
For instance, with the palm oil that they consume goes from here, another southern part. You know, we produce a lot of garri, same thing. Even our rice goes to other states. You go to Uduma and Nenwe, for instance, you struggle with people from Abia, from Rivers,
to get rice.
You go to Adani, same thing. You see people from Delta, from Onitsha, struggling. You know, major markets struggling to out the rice, and they move it out in trailers. So it's the way the economy is designed, of the country is designed. So this training, the agribusiness training, has helped the youth, especially the youth that reside in the urban areas, to see that, oh, wow, we can also participate in agriculture. So because you keep saying, go back to farming, go back to... So how you want us to relocate to the villages if we are living in these urban areas? Because the food we produce is produced mostly in the rural areas.
Yeah.
And it's people producing it. It's youthful people, in addition to the older ones. So with the agribusiness hub, what we're doing is showing them how to process, package, and market agro-products. Do you see that? So you're asking, do we have enough? Yes, we do. Are we adding more value to it? I think we should do more, and that's what we are doing now. The focus of the states in the country, the federal government, is to ramp up production. Now, in Enugu State, we are now going a step further to package, process, and have a proper market linkage between industries and agriculture. So, for instance, we have registered, we've trademarked some of our agro products as a state, showing you that we're taking it as a serious business now, with our eyes focused on export. The state has a non-oil export agenda, which aligns with the federal government diversification plan, which I am the focal person for the state. So we trademarked our Coal City Rice. What is Coal City Rice? It's the rice that we produce, that otherwise everybody comes to buy, and it's bagged in any bag, and everybody calls it their rice. We have our own products trademarked as Coal City Rice. Cashew, Enugu cashew has been trademarked, so that we can pay attention to how this cashew can value can be added, more money is retained in the state, and keep our eyes on export. Same thing for Nsukka Pepper. You have heard of Nsukka Pepper.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere in the country they talk of Nsukka Pepper. It's gone popular. So what we've done is trademarked it as a brand for the state. Then we have a particular company called Tiger Foods and Green Sahara Foods, two companies that have been coming to uptake directly now from the farms, you know, because Tiger Food makes spices, and they say they like this aroma and the taste of Nsukka Pepper, and it helps to improve the spices. And by the way, Tiger Food exports to the West African coast. So can you see the value chain? In that much, the farmers don't export directly by themselves, but you come buy and add value. So you see that market linkage. So we've done the same thing for our palm oil, you know, Enugu palm oil, you know, same thing for okra. Enugu okra, we're still working on that. We don't know where that will take us to, but I'm sure one day you see our okra in the international market.
Do you take from the farmers and then sell to these other off-takers?
No, you link the off-takers to the farmers.
Directly?
Yes. That's market linkage. You know, the job of government is to facilitate trade, investment, export, growth. You know, the government's function is to shape the culture of the people. So if the people did not know that this is possible, the government's duty is to make them know it's possible, and then go a step further to link them up. And that's how industries are born, you know. Opportunities grow. I remember when the federal government was talking about cassava bread, you know, and it became a rave, you know. And then there was drive for high quality cassava flour that is used in pharmaceuticals. So, and as we speak, there's one company that's building almost at 90% completion, or even 95%, at Ituku Ozala, building a cassava to ethanol plant. So do you see that? So by the time they are done, you probably might be looking for garri if you don't increase our production. So there is a lot of opportunity. So but the thing about agriculture is you solve the question from the answer. So, that, so you have to get the linkage market before you produce, because you, if you harvest your cassava, you need to sell it or process it to something. So these things are coming into shape in Enugu State. And by the grace of God, as the headquarters of Southeast, that Enugu is, Enugu should be feeding the whole of Southeast Nigeria and beyond.
All right. With the plant you talk about, will I be right to say that people who are forward-thinking should be thinking about growing more of cassava?
Yes, people who are forward-thinking should grow cassava, but you should even think further by thinking of what will you do with your cassava. So the forward-thinking people should actually invest in the processing of cassava.
Is that not what the plant is supposed to do?
Yeah, but that's one plant. We need more. So come and invest in, you know, high-quality cassava flour production. I'm sure Juhel and the rest will need it. Someone is already doing ethanol to cassava to ethanol. Gari production. You can also increase capacity the way it's done, and we've also registered in Enugu Gari as a brand.
Okay,
you know, so that a lot of things you can make feeds from the cassava byproducts. You can make. I even saw some people are already creating electricity from cassava, which is ethanol is already a biodiesel. They are now using electrolytes from cassava water to generate electricity. So, for the people that have the big money, I invite them to invest in processing, so that at the processing plant becomes a off-taker for cassava being produced. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the projected IGR for Enugu State government from agriculture with all this that you ruled out?
You know, the focus is not on IGR. You know, IGR is internally generated revenue, which is, for now, which is taxing and getting money from the farmers or from the processors. The target now is to deepen our and expand our coast, such that by the time it all adds up, there's a lot of wealth created in Enugu, in our rural areas. The local economy is rejuvenated. Then you see that the IGR now starts trickling in.
Okay.
You know, personally, I think that we should encourage our agricultural sector to grow, and then all other things will be added to it.
Okay. It's nice to know that all these things are happening. Don't you think there should be more bridging of a gap? Because a lot of people in Enugu don't know these things are going on. Who do we blame for the bridging communication?
I guess you mean that the people that don't know are the people that reside in urban areas. Yeah, because well, you're talking about over 14,000 people that benefited from Fadama. And there are people that have, for instance, 1 hectare of farm, rice farm, and above. These are people that dwell in rural areas. There's no, in all the rice-producing local governments, you go, there's none of them that doesn't know the meaning of the word Fadama.
Okay.
For instance. And in all the other local governments that produce cassava, none of them that don't know the meaning of Ministry of Agriculture, extension officers that come to give advice, extension advice. So that's how it happens. That's why keen on your name of your station is Urban Radio. Which shows that perhaps your coverage is statewide, I guess, but a lot of urban dwellers listen to you. So the urban dwellers are probably more interested in the banking jobs, in the wetter market, the businesses, you know, the IT. So and they don't spend time in the village. Probably 2 weeks out of 52 weeks of the year is what they spend in their villages. So when they go, it's all about fun fair, Christmas, this, that. Who they know? So urban radio is helping us to bridge that gap, and that's what we're doing now.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Each time we talk about agriculture, one recurrent issue is that of a herdsman. And there have been cases of people who complain that their livelihood in form of their farm produce are overtaken by these herds of cattle. What will you say that the government is doing to be able to make sure that the farmers don't lose what they are making?
Yes, for you know, As you are aware, Southeast, in the whole of Southeast, Enugu State is the first to pass a law on the forest guard, you know, which is proactivity, you know. So this is a situation, this herdsman issue is a situation that is almost new and strange, and, you know, new measures require innovative ways to solve it. So His Excellency the Governor, Right Honourable Ifeanyi Ogunwanyi, in wisdom given by God, created the Forest Guard and then passed a bill, you know, passed a law, and it has been signed. I'm working with the Joint Security Architecture in the state, so we've been following up on that. So we also have the vigilantes, also their scope has also expanded, you know, into preventive methods to stop this from happening. And the local governments have committees that work on getting the herdsmen out of the place, and also if there's any destruction, they try to handle the repayment of everything lost. So the governor is continue to work and tweaking the system, you know, so that we get to a point where we have zero incidents, you know.
Okay, you talked about that because I believe that training is critical to what is going on. There was a training recently. What was the training about?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's not just one year. It's a number of trainings, but the last one just happened on Monday or thereabout. Monday last week. It was about getting the youth, especially the youth that reside in urban areas, to begin to know how to participate in agriculture. You know, it's a hand-holding and training, because we've been telling the youth to go back to agriculture. There's no job, there's no white-collar job. And they are really in a dilemma. How do we start? Where do we start from? You know, so we show them that agriculture has a value chain. You know, there's the upstream, just comparable to the oil and gas, and the downstream. You have the production, you have the services, you have the processing, you have the packaging, you have the marketing. And because they can't relocate, they have to stay where they are to go to participate in agriculture. We've taught them that, look, you can package Gary and market it, and then it becomes you become a household product. Do you know that? Do you know that as a student you can package rice, even under its Ziploc bags, and you will sell it to your students and they will buy? Same thing for for Obono, same thing for Oba. You know, so we put them through the process of processing. We show them how learned how rice is processed, destoned, polished. You know, they learned how to package fish. You know, they learned how. They listen to real life testimonies. You know, sort of a mentorship. You know, they say faith comes by hearing, right? So they listen to other people. They saw a youth like them, and they're like, oh wow, so this is actually possible. And so that's what the training is about. So we even went further by saying that you don't learn how to ride a bike by reading a book. You have to mount a bike. So we give them some product and say, go into the market, conquer your fear. Like one of the authors said, is it Jack Welch? I can't remember. That says, eat the fattest frog. So when they see 18-year-old boys and girls, you know, young people go to the market, knock on the traders, I have a product, would you like to sample it? And the traders say, okay, let's see it. And they call them back and say, we like it. So they came back and say, wow, so this is possible. I say, yes. So that's what it is. So it's an innovative approach to moving the agri-sector forward by targeting the very critical energy that will make it happen, which is the youth. And like I always say, that the youth are the energy that drives any nation. Check it, from the military to the science and technology to food production to whatever you say, even to crime. So when we now engage this youth, they actively start unleashing their positive energy. We give you 5 years, 7 years, you see a legacy.
But you'll agree that a whole lot needs to still be done.
Yes, Rome was not built in a day. And Chinese say that the best time to plant a tree was yesterday, and the next best time is today. So,
are you going to be doing more of this training?
Yes, by the grace of God, we want it to be a monthly training, you know, and it's, you know, as the passion of His Excellency is to drive the local economy, increase, you know, circulation of funds within the state. So, it will continue.
All right. Like I said at the beginning, we're going to be opening up the talk lines soon enough. Keep the calls coming. If you have a question, something bothering you concerning agriculture, but let's get some clarifications while we can. 080-99-945-945 or 080-93-999-945. Keep your comments as brief as possible. Of course, we'll take calls and then we'll revert back to our guest in the studio.
Yes, you know that the state government is building a ranch, we call it an Efibo Ranch. You know, so that, to answer, to further, you know, buttress the point I'm making on solutions to herdsmen crisis. So this is the first of its kind.
Wow.
First. A feeble ranch. It's a mother ranch. It's going up right now at her alumna. It is supposed to become the innovation hub that helps to teach our people ranching. So from there, it propagates statewide.
Okay.
So you see, the same, you can turn a problem to a solution, a problem to to an opportunity. So the opportunity becomes that our youth can now learn how to ranch, make money from cattle ranching, and there becomes a solution to this problem.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, you see.
What's your name and where you're calling from?
I'm calling from anywhere here.
Go ahead.
Sorry, thanks for the program, and my question is, I want to plant some economic tree in my compound and my village. Where do I get this? There's this German mango, you know, even when it is look greenish, it has wrapped inside. Where I want to lead it, the way I can get all this agric mango, English pears, all this economic tree, so that I can take it to my village and plant in my compound. Please.
All right. Thank you. Keep the calls coming. Let's get some more reactions. 0099-945-945.
And 93999-945.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Prince. I call you from Enugu.
Go ahead, Prince.
So, I need support. I have some acres of land. So, but the problem I have now is financial problem. Because I see how Nigeria is moving around now. Everything is talking about agriculture. So I have a place to do something, but the problem I have now is the cash for it. Because if I have support from government or any angle, I have a place of building cassava, acres, and it's my own land. But the problem I have is the financial problem. So I need the support. If they can give me support, I'm interested in agriculture. Thank you.
All right. Keep the calls coming. 0099-945-945. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
This is Loloma calling from Ebonyi State.
All right, go ahead.
My question is, what is the best month to plant palm tree?
What's the best time to do what?
Plant palm tree.
Palm tree, okay. Yes. All right. Keep the calls coming. This is your opportunity to get answers to some of the questions that have bothered you for long, especially as it relates to agriculture. 080-99-945-945. Hello? Please be more audible. We need to hear what you're saying. Go ahead. All right. Thank you for your thoughts. Keep the calls coming. Let's get some more responses before we get back to the studios. All right, 0809-945-945. Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What's the name?
My name is Machelaki.
All right, step away from your radio. Go ahead.
Yes, you see, one, I really appreciate the way you are making this agricultural discussion a point of which you are trying. Yes, I just want to say that for agriculture to come bounce back in this South or in Nigeria, our politicians really help us, not by mere rhetoric, but in action that we can see and touch. What I'm trying to say is this. I just want to beg the government to give a sense of belonging to our farmers, because if you watch the way the country is going, even though from time to time, both federal, state, and local, everybody will be talking agriculture, but indeed, farmers doesn't have, if you see a farmer, the way, how awkward and how wretched they always look, you know that they don't have a sense of belonging. I just want the government to do that. And again, I just want them to declare state of emergency in our bushes. Government can do it. If government can lay hand on any land and seize it to do whatever, to set estates and things like that, they can as well lay hand on land for agriculture, for farming. They can do it. They can push all the local government chairmen to go. Even all this, we knew that at initial time, it's all about palm tree. That is how the Igbo survived in those days. They can as well go back to it, you know, something like that. Maybe a local government can map out a particular hectare of land and put it a palm tree. It will go a long way. And the other places, they can as well ask people, maybe youth, all these youth that are unemployed today, they can even subsidize the way all these tractors are saying. Because for real,
all right,
farming is not, you know, farming is not cheap at all. So they can as well, all this issue of tractors they say, they can subsidize it. I asked them the other day, they said it's 40,000 naira they used to lend a tractor. They can subsidize it maybe 20,000, so that people should be encouraged. And any farmland that is not being used for a while, government can go into that place and ask anybody, any youth that is interested, to come and use it for farming. With all of these things, and again, this issue of insecurity, they should actually do something, because even if you give me 10 million naira today to go and farm, but there's still insecurity in the bush. Yeah, I may not.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Moses, for your thoughts. Hello?
Hello, good morning, I call.
You're welcome. Make it brief.
Yeah, my name is Jacob. I'm calling from Enugu. I'm just trying to grow fish in my...
Step away from your radio. We need to get tranquility to hear you clearly.
Okay, is it okay now?
Go ahead.
So, like I'm saying, I just want to grow fish in my compound. And each time I'm trying to train them to grow up, sometimes when I wake up, I will see all the fish dead. I've tried it three consecutive times now, and woke up one morning and saw all of them dead. I don't know what is my problem. Please, if you are guest in the studio, can help me. I will continue because I will continue because I cannot be growing fish. When I woke up sometime in the morning, I saw all of them dead. I don't know what is my problem. Thank you.
All right, let's get back to the studio. Just before we go for the break at 9:45, Engineer, you've listened to them attentively. Let's get your responses to the callers.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's start from the economic trees. As a matter of fact, you can get economic trees from all the nooks and crannies of Enugu, from these brothers and sisters that are into horticulture. And that's where I got my mango trees, if you come to my house, I have over 30 trees in one place. So that's where you get it. But you can also get trees from the Ministry of Agriculture. They have a place opposite the secretariat, the state secretariat, where you can get palm trees and some other trees. But I assure you that the people that sell flowers, if you go in there, and they also have economic trees, because they've been encouraged to have a mix, you know, that you shouldn't just sell trees that don't give value. You should also at border trees, you know.
Is it affordable?
Yeah, it's affordable. With 1,500 naira, you can get an orange tree that is budded, you know, short orange tree that grows in 1 year.
Okay.
And same with almost all the trees, you know. In fact, it's even more, the trees are more affordable than all these beautiful glowing palm trees that you see people planting in houses. The economic trees are more affordable.
Okay.
Then Prince Enugu was talking about he has a financial problem, but he has land. You know, they say information is power. You know, sometimes when you hear advert on radio, TV, you might want to take it seriously. The Central Bank of Nigeria has been giving funds, you know, and our people in the southeast need to pay attention and actually do the legwork. So, same thing with NYSAL. NYSAL is a branch of Central Bank. They've been giving funding. So, but you need to walk up to them and see how their modalities for giving loans. Sometimes they may want you to have cooperatives. They might not want to give just one person,
okay.
So if the farm is in your village or some, of course I'm sure it should be in some rural areas, you can get people together, form cooperatives and say, look, this land is very big. I allow you to farm on this portion. Let's create a cooperative. Let's use this cooperative to apply. Follow through patiently and they will give you this funds. Don't forget NYSAL. NYSAL has a what we call the NYSAL Microfinance Bank as we speak. Hello, Max and boys. I was asking the best time to plant palm trees. I think it's best to just plant during the rainy season so that the palm tree would get some, you know, wetness before the dry season. But I've planted palm trees even the dry season, so long as you give it water, you know, to survive. Pastor JJ from Aniri was saying, talking about issues of herdsmen. And I see... We, in as much as the government is coming to help, we should also see how we can help ourselves. For example, do you know that you can do biofencing of your farmland? You know, Jatropha plant can actually serve as a biofence. You know, plant it and all those blood farm areas, just keep planting it. You can even do stem cutting. With stems, you plant it. It can create a biofence so that the cattle can come in. And this is something we need to do because things are, at times are changing. Then cluster farming is also a good way to do things. I know in the past, during this, following what they said in history, I wasn't there, that during the slave raid, that people used to go out in groups. You know, our people used to go to farming groups. So I think we need to start doing cluster farming. Cluster farming, that's why you know, World Bank, federal government, state supports usually go to cooperatives. So we need to work in our own rural cooperatives. So I know that usually we have dedicated areas for farming in our villages. So we can decide that we all go together to farm, or you don't go one person at a time. So it should be a kind of synergy between us, because it will be. And then, as you're going, we go with our vigilantes or invite our forest guards to go with us. So that way, we're able to, you know, protect ourselves and while things get better. And you mentioned that you opened account. You need to get more information. Where did you open account? Who came to open account? What account did you, why did you open account? Did you just go open account because somebody told you, or were you applying for something? You know, so as we need to, we need to pay attention to details when it comes to what's really happening in this country, because you see, it's CBN and all that, these are our funds, it belongs to the whole of Nigeria. So we need to actually pay attention. With a lot of times we suffer for lack of knowledge. We need to ask, you know, if you see those places, and you get what belongs to you. Moses Okoro from Enugu was talking about politicians to help agriculture. That's the governor is helping agriculture, and more we keep coming. Let's just keep the faith alive. And then my brother was talking about all his fish dead. I think you should get a consultant or training to help you understand how to do fish farming. Yes, we could just have ponds put fish, but have you checked the feed? What kind of feed do you give the fish? How often do you change the water? You know, is the place you are rearing this fish, is it safe? Are you having sabotage? You could do well to I'll probably visit the Ministry of Agriculture, go to the Fisheries Department and seek some advice. Or otherwise, a simple Googling, browsing can help you to improve your knowledge on what you are doing. Thank you.
All right. Of course, we'll take another round of call after this short break. We'll take the news as 9:45. We'll be right back to continue the Parliament. Welcome back. It's still Urban Parliament. The talk lines are getting open once again, so that you can make bear your concerns at 080-99-945-945.
And 080-93-999-945.
Couple of calls coming. Of course, we'll take calls until the hour of 10, and then we can also get back to the studio for more comments. 00999-945-945 or 0093-999-945. Go ahead. We can hear you. Go ahead. Give the calls coming. 0899-945-945. And this morning we're looking at how we can develop for the agricultural sector. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Lucy and Adobe.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Barrister Zaptike, Global Public Affairs Analyst. My own take is, number one, our question. The president of our nation, Dibu, has been at the radio station twice, lamenting that 70% of what we eat, the food we consume, all from the north. And he went for that, and urged us that we don't even need very, very big farms. But everybody, no matter how small your own farm, like my own, near my house, I have 50 trees of, what do you call it? And 50 trees of onugbu and 50 trees of plantain. Everybody should farm. And it is not true that we don't have enough land. Look at Israel. Israel was a desert. Israel is now exporting food to 50 countries. And, you know, exporting water. Technology is what we need. This region has been identified as an area that has technology as its own advantage. You know, let us start our own Silicon Valley. Computer Village. If you go to Computer Village in Ikeja, Lagos, 90% of the people there are people from this southeast. Please, let us take advantage of our knowledge of technology. Please. And then on the issue of Fulani herdsmen, some of my former students who are now in government, I don't want to mention all their names, even Ikeja, they were my students. But some of them in Enugu State government have told me why Enugu State governor is soft about Fulani herdsmen, about how he relates with the Sultan of Sokoto. I don't want to say it openly. Please, let your friendship with the Sultan of Sokoto not affect, you know, the fact that herdsmen are not allowing us to go and farm again. Thank you.
All right. Let's see what we're sure of.
On your topic this morning, we really need food in this company, in this country. There's no way we can develop as a country if we cannot feed ourselves. Let us first of all look into the issue of our farmers being maybe harassed by whatever people that are harassing them. Our farmers should feel free to go to their farms so that there will be no food shortages in this country. Then our national assemblymen should also look into injecting more money into agriculture. We inject more money into elections. When it comes into anything concerning elections, we put more money there. But we don't maybe inject more money into agriculture. We don't encourage our farmers in the villages, even in the town. You know, some people that are ready to farm, at times we politicize everything that we give money to farmers. Why we've not given anything to them? I believe if Nigeria will do that, if Nigeria will put more money, if Nigeria will give half of the money they give into elections, into agriculture, I believe that we will develop our agricultural sector and there will be food sufficiency in this country God bless you. That was it. My name, I call from Enugu.
Thank you for your thoughts. Keep the calls coming. 0809-945-945. Hello?
Good morning. My name is Victor from Meniru. I want to put my own contribution to what we are saying this morning about agriculture.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that the government should come in, you know, to, first of all, bring in security for our poor farmers. Because if they don't have security, how can they farm? If they don't have security in their farmland, in the bushes, how can they farm? Secondly, I want to bring something which is not a part of what we're discussing, but is very important. The road of Meniru has been a death trap. This morning, there were a lot of people who had a very big accident because of that road. And the decay of that road is extending to Okunano Girls. And you can check from Meniru bus stop to Okunano Girls. It's a very long distance. That road was a very little pothole, but now it's beginning to expand. The bigger, and people who are going to UNTs and people who are using that place to 103 Battalion, people who are going to Port Harcourt Express Road, you know, it is a big death trap. And I think the government of Enugu State should do something about it. Then, back to what I was saying about the agriculture, I think we should put in more checks on the security for our farmers. I, too, I am a farmer. And by doing so, by the government and the help of the police and then the new formed, what is it called again, the Forest Guard, I think something should be done and we could have more supplies of food by next year. Thank you, Urban Radio.
Thank you so much. Let's get some more calls before the hour of 10. And, of course, keep it as civil as possible. Hello?
I'm grateful for Urban Radio for the step they are taking. What agree? In fact, if the people who are agitating for Biafra and all this can add value to agri, to help the Easterners to grow life. So I really appreciate the Urban Radio for the effort they are making. With the total of you, it means
thank you so much for joining us. Okay, we'll continue to talk until we get it right. All right, keep the calls coming. You're welcome, Eberi.
The issue for those who are agitating for Biafra should do this. Let me tell you, this is not the main issue. The main issue is agriculture is the best policy for survival of any nations. The thing we say, our government should come down to invest in agriculture. Like, for instance, if you look at this particular monetary park, if you look into that place, you will find out that all they are cultivating there is all just flower. There is no economic theory at all there. That's not what we are expecting over there, actually. So, and if you look at some empty land in Enugu, Uru is busy clearing all of them. And there are some farmers who are cultivating in those empty lands. And all of them are being scared away. How can we survive? So, when you look at all these things, our government is not helping at all. They are not making us a policy to help farmers at all. Like me, I love farming. But if you cultivate, if you go into the bush, Fulanis are there. Like in this area road, you will see them taking their cattle everywhere. So I don't see government coming closer to it. Like what?
Are you a farmer?
Exactly. Previously, I'm a farmer. But they came and they cleared the bush. They said they want to establish what they call a state development. So did you see issues? Some of us are just static. So,
where did they clear? Where exactly are you talking about?
So we don't see anywhere to farm anymore. So it's not that they are not helping at all.
Is really the issue the land to cultivate on? To be honest, do you think the real problem is that you don't have a land to cultivate on?
Exactly, that's the main fact. Because I'm not an indigenous of Enugu. So how can I have access to land? You know, what we are experiencing in the Southeast, if you don't, you are not an indigene of this particular state, you don't have any access to land.
But we also know of indigenes, non-indigenes that have,
Can we see such? And at least I'm interested in it. Can we see such? If I can see such, I can have access to it. Then we can go back to farming. Actually, farming is the best alternative to survive.
Have you approached the Ministry of Agriculture asking for land? Hello. Have you approached the ministry?
I have never approached them.
So how do you get a land if you're not going for it?
That's why I'm saying, how can I have access to them? That's why I'm paying attention to our radio this morning. Remember.
All right. All right, let's keep the calls coming. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, sorry. For God's sake, let me come in for some seconds. I'm still by the sense of TK. I want us to take the example of the United States of America about agriculture. When they found out that Chinese goods are all over USA, they did what they call trade ban. And they started by themselves to start producing all those things. I don't see why, as fertile as our land is and as hardworking as we are, everything in every food in our market is not from East Central State. I have said it before that I have started my own restructuring. I'm not waiting for federal government restructuring. I eat only local rice from the southeast. Everything I eat is from the southeast. Please, let us start our own restructuring, you know, before federal restructuring, since they are too slow about restructuring.
All right. Someone was trying to get through to us. DPO, you could try once again so that we can just hear you. If you have a comment to make, let's just get that in just a while. Hello?
Hello, you too. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
My name is Emmanuel from Achalea.
Go ahead.
Before I speak on the issue of agriculture, I expect that you should have cautioned that man that was equating the issue of Biafra with agriculture. It has nothing to do with it. So that young man should understand that he's making a mockery of himself. Then on the issue of farming, there is a strategy being employed to protect what you do on your farm. Just like the guest said, every community have youth. And that youth form part of the security architecture or unit with which protect the farmland within that community. Do you know that when you go to a point, there are communities that these herders do not enter to destroy the farms of the people? Because they understood that when government fails to give them that security to protect their farms, they have to do that for themselves. Do you know that there are some communities in this Enugu state where herders dare not enter to destroy the farms of the people? That is because they understand that farming is part of their life and they need to secure it for the survival of that particular village or community. I am telling those who are complaining that government has failed to give them community. In that community where you farm, where you have land, where you cultivate all manner of or varieties of agricultural products, can the community come together? You form your own security architecture to protect what you farm in your farm. If you do not do that and continue to wait for government, you might be wasting your time. And the people in that community might not be getting enough of what they want. People must stop complaining about this government because they are afraid to protect the agricultural sector in this country. Protect your farm. If the herdsmen come there, you know what to do to them. Emmanuel from Achalea. Thank you.
You see the MC. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. You're welcome to the show.
And good morning to your research person too.
Thank you.
The program this morning is very interesting.
Thank you.
My own concern is on the preservation and addition of a value chain to what is being produced. 3-4 months ago, we had a surplus of mangoes and other economic trees all over the state in abundance, and now we cannot be able to find any of them because we lack this storage and preservation capacity, and also the need to add value to what has been produced. As we are talking now, granite is all over the place, produced and being consumed raw. So how do we get to add a value and acquire a preservation capacity to whatever we produced? Is my question this morning. Good morning to you once more.
Thank you. Ezemachu. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, we will take a commercial break. When we return, we'll take some more calls, and then my guest will do justice to the questions. It's still Urban Parliament this beautiful Thursday morning. We'll take some more calls, and then we will invite Engineer Mike to answer the questions raised. Hello? Good morning. Please be audible. Go ahead.
Yeah, all of us know that agriculture is very, very good. And there is common business of our forefathers. But the kind of environment we found ourselves today have changed a lot of things. And this is the major reason why youth have no longer interest on agriculture. Last month, I saw on Facebook a big farm in Ojoa where Fulani cattle destroyed farm of a one man that worth millions of naira. And even up till now, I have a friend there. I called the person that put it and I discussed with him. Up till now, government has never done anything tangible on that. Knowing fully well that if it is we Igbos that is doing the business of cattle rearing, we cannot do this kind of thing. And they're not. Everybody knows what happened this morning. Just because I don't know what they see, they begin to threaten that they're going to declare state of emergency in Igbo land. Leave the major places where we are having problem. Everybody knows that we are having problem because Igbo matter usually be special on them.
All right, just focus on agriculture and just.
My point is that before we try to advise us or encourage us to go back to an agriculture, government must do something on this particular issue. If not, they will be using agriculture and doing business. And I have never seen any local government in Enugu State, my own state, that is seriously embarking in agriculture. Some local government is supposed to have farms, employ people doing business, people will see it, and some people will get jobs on it. We know that these particular governments are producing this or that, but nothing. But they will become to radio and shouting, go back to agriculture, go back to agriculture. Even if the government have any policy for a loan or something like that, they will use policies and share the money to their political members and friends and well-wishers. Yeah, this is now. Anyway, you are doing politics. Thank you very much.
All right. It's important you say things you can verify. All right. Keep the calls coming. 0800-999-945-945. You can also call 0800-939-999-945. Hello?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What's the name?
Yeah, I'm Peter from Pansikulu.
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not happy with your comments this morning, you see. A farmer called you a few minutes ago, and he was complaining of how the government came and cleared the land and said they want to turn it into an estate stuff. And you were acting so insensitive, asking him if he has gone to the Minister of Agriculture and so on. So I'm talking as if you don't know how things operate in this country. Well, I'm a doctor, and I'm also a farmer, and I have a farm at Ibagwa. And the same thing happened. The government came and declared the whole farm, saying they want to turn there into an estate stuff and all that. And I went to the Minister of Agriculture, and they asked me, what do I want them, what do I expect them to do? And I said, I want a farm. And I told them, if I want a farm, I should pay money and get a farm. And the amount they quoted, and average Nigerian cannot afford such. So you can't just stay there in the region and ask a farmer, telling him to go and meet them. As if he goes, they will just give me a land free for farming. It doesn't happen so here in the southeast. No, it's not like that. So please, you should be sensitive and you should know how we handle such situations. Thank you.
Now, just before you go, Mr. Kenel Zadema was here 2 days ago. From the information he gave, it's not exactly as you just put it. The Ministry of Agriculture is ready to give you land if you have what to do with it.
I want to contribute on this topic. One, I want to say that the Ministry of Agriculture, they don't have any land. I once went to them in my community. We have land. What we do not have is access road to the land. I went there to ask them if they could come, provide us access road, and then maybe if they take the land for some years on lease. They said I should go, that we should go and form cooperative society. I just wanted to explain the issue of having land in this of agriculture. They don't have. And if you want them to come and have access to it, just to provide access route, they told me off. You can imagine what other people are passing through. Now, we are talking about agriculture. I want to digress a little bit. Our politicians, it is not our program that they are after. What concerns this issue of solidarity visits to governor by the PDP now, when we are in trouble? They should be talking about how to improve the welfare of the people. They are advertising about solidarity visits. We are not doing election now. That is a way of wasting the people's money. Solidarity visits on what? PDP. We are discussing a very serious topic now about agriculture, how to improve our life. But people are advertising, calling every past office holders to come and pay solidarity visits. What will that add to the value of governance in any good state? And the governor will allow them, instead of taking steps that will assist the people. That's by the way. We are having issues in the communities about planning health men. They are not talking about that. But, crafting a situation where they will visit the governor. I've got to eat out.
All right, I have to let you go. You're leaving the discussion and wading into other issues. Hello?
Hello, you see?
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, most is okay. I come back. You see,
make it as brief as you can, please.
Yes. I want to tell you that accusation of the way the government do clear farmlands of people, because for estate sake, is not in vain. There's no any estate you see today in Enugu that people have not been farming in that place. It's not a problem that they clear it for estate, but the problem is that those people farming there, the way they are being treated with their crops, that is where the problem is. It will not reduce any state government. It will not cost them anything. If they always come to the land and maybe evaluate the crops there, maybe pay those people 10,000, 5,000, 20,000, and people will go peacefully. But the way they always handle them, they'll just bring their bulldozer, mount it there, clear the whole place, and those people will just go like that. Does that show a seriousness or show the government that has interest in agriculture? Do you know what it costs anybody? Even if it's a one plot of land farming, do you know what it costs? For somebody to come and say,
your points are noted. Thank you. Please, let's get, our time is running out. Let's get your views on the issues that they have raised.
Okay, thank you so much.
As much as you can.
Yes, thank you so much. What I see as a sum total of every comment is that we all appreciate the fact that there's a need to increase our agricultural output and that there's a need to take ownership of developing this sector. And like someone said, that our ancestors were farmers before us, and that we come to this generation and everybody is saying government come farm for us or government do this. So we all have to go back to our values as Ndibo and work towards developing our agriculture space. We should watch over each other. We should sponsor somebody at home. If you're not in the village, you could repatriate some funds to the village to farm, even if it's just one plot of cassava. Even if it's just one plot of cassava or rice or vegetable. I think we should also, even if you're in the urban area, you can plant in your backyard. You can plant ugu, you can plant tomatoes. You become self-sufficient in a few food items in the house. And it's also great that our people are beginning to have awareness that economic plants are more important than just the ornamental plants.
Okay.
So we should come together. And then we should also invest home. We should think home, we should invest. You see, the reason we are having so much of our land having issues is that we leave them to fallow. And of course, that has been our way of doing things. We used to do crop rotation, back in the days. Mm-hmm. But now we have modern ways. We can enrich the soil. The soil can replace its nutrients. So if we all come back, bring back our resources home and put our money into our farms, we have a lot more people occupying our land. We will have a lot more cooperation. We can band together and keep our land safe while the government continues to play her role of going through legislations like the Forest Guard and ensuring that the Forest Guard are active. So together, as Ndibo, as Enugu people, we should ensure that we produce what we can eat to the point where we have surplus to export to other nations. Thank you.
All right. Our guest this morning is the Special Advisor on Agriculture to the Governor of Enugu State, Engineer Michael Obuokwe. Thank you so much for your time and your thoughts.
Thank you so much.
And for those of you who listened, it's been awesome on Urban Parliament. Urban Parliament will resume tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And do well to keep a date with the rest of our programs for the day. Uchegebel is my name.